Nesiv HaTshuva Parak Gimel. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So Maharal is continuing with the Gemaras in Maseches Yoma. This Gemara is on Pei Vav Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Amru b'ma'arava. They said in the West, Mishmei de Rava, in the name of Rava, Bar Mari, the son of Mari. Bo re'ei shelo kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. This first piece is very, very beautiful. Look how different the midos, the behavior, the characteristics, if you will, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu are, compared to a human being of flesh and blood. What happens if you insult Hashem versus what happens if you insult the human being? Midas basar v'dam, the way that it works, ben adam l'chaveiro, adam maknit es chaveiro, a person angers his fellow. Safik mispayis mimenu, safik einu mispayis mimenu. He has a suffix. Maybe this individual will be makabel piusim. He'll be willing to accept words of comfort. He'll be willing to forgive him. Suffix ain't a spice menu. But maybe he'll never be able to appease him. There are people who got into silly fights 20 years ago who still don't talk to each other. It's a suffix, a basar v'dam. The very nature of a basar v'dam, our fickle state, causes us to not be willing to start over, to change, to accept appeasement, and to offer atonement. The imtim tzalomer mispayis imenu. And even if you find a way to appease this other person, something mispayis imenu b'dvarim, something mispayis imenu b'mamon. Maybe you'll be able to appease him with words, but maybe it's going to send years of sending gifts and offering all sorts of financial benefits to this individual. Right, to do whatever it takes to appease him. It might be a very costly process to win over his favor once again. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, when we wrong him, he should be the most kiviyachol upset, much more so than a basar v'dam, because all honor really does belong to him, and we went and we did something which was a terrible affront to his honor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't okay, and Hashem's not so difficult. Adam over Aveira b'seisar, a person does an Aveira, b'spayis imenu b'dvarim, and he comes to Hashem, and you talk it out with God, with divurim ba'alma, a few words, and everything can change. Shenemar k'chu imachem dvarim v'shuvu l'Hashem. Take with yourself words, and return to Hashem. I gave a shir last night to the Neshei Wayu. I didn't know there was such a thing. But apparently there are women, young married women, in the neighborhood who have get-togethers for various shurim. So I was talking to them about the pasuk b'fichul v'vav chol asosa. B'fichul v'vav chol asosa. Like Rebbe was saying, like Mashpi was saying yesterday, lo me'ever liyam, lo v'shamayim hi, ki kar v'lecha adar ma'od. It's a very accessible thing, tshuva. It's available. B'fichul v'vav chol asosa. So I was speaking a little bit about how, and each of those things, b'fichul v'vav chol asosa, a minor move of the path, a minor move of the lave, a minor move of the guf, can mamish create a mapecha, can change the whole world. A small dibur can do so much. So I shared with them an amazing piece from the Preet Tzadik in Parshas Naso. Listen to this piece from Rav Tzadik. The Torah says that when a person wants to become a nazir, that's why it's in Parshas Naso. It's Preet Tzadik Osiyo Dalet, I think, in Parshas Naso. When a person wants to become a nazir, what does the Torah say? A ish o isha, when a man or a woman wants to become a nazir or a nazira. Can a woman become a nazir? Yes. Pasuk says so. This is the classic Rosh Hashanah trick. When guys are trying to get into smicha or to get be part of the kolel to get a stipend. So one of the questions Rosh Hashanah likes to ask is, can a woman become a nazir? So the guys start going, well, there's a toisus, I remember there's a achluchis, ksus, and the sivos. Rosh Hashanah is like, there's a pasuk in the chumash that says ish o isha. So don't be so smart. Yeah, the Shachter is going to remind us that we don't know anything about the basics, and we should probably spend more time on it. Okay, so a woman can become a nazir. It's mefurish in the Torah. Good. No. So it says Isha Isha Kiyafli. A pella. A pella is taking place. So it says for something. What's the pella of the nazir? What's the pella of the nazir? What's the wonder of the nazir? Mafli la'asos, like we say in Asher Yatzar. We said the other week, the Pella of Asher Yatzar, as the Ramah brings in Shulchan Aruch, is that the Guf and the Neshama work together. Remember I told you the Vart for Moshe Shapiro, if you see an elephant in a dream, I wrote a peel bechalom. Why is an elephant such a pella? Because it's this crazy mix of guf and neshama. So says Rav Salzman, what's the pella of the nazir? He says the pella of the nazir is the following. The pella of the nazir is, let's say a person decided, I'm not going to drink grape products, I'm going to avoid toma, I'm going to do some strange things with my hair. So he takes upon himself the hanhagos of a nazir. Such a person, we would say about such an individual, you're a regular guy. What do you mean? Do you realize what I do? I don't eat grapes or grape products. I don't come into contact with toma, I do strange things with my hair. We say, that's nice. You're a regular guy. What happens when that same guy says two words? Hareini nazir. Now all of a sudden the Torah says that throughout the time period of his nazirus, he's kadosh l'Hashem. So Salah says, that's a pella. What's the difference? The two guys are being knowing the same hanhagos. They're living their life the exact same way. They're avoiding the same things. They're taking the same restrictions upon themselves. One says two words, Hareini nazir, and all of a sudden, oh, gavaldik, he's shaking the world. And the other one, because he didn't say those two words, Hareini nazir, that's a pella. That's a pella. It's a wondrous thing. That with a drop of dibur, a person could literally be transformed into a nazir. You take a regular animal, right, and you say, you know, Hareze, Ola, this is a carbon Ola, and all of a sudden that animal is a totally different animal, governed by totally different rules. A sanctity that has been thrown upon that animal in an unbelievable way. That's a pella. That's the pella of the Nazir. And it's the same pella that we've been speaking about when it comes to tshuva. Tshuva is a pella. So when it says, Kluimachim Dvarim Veshuva El Hashem, you know, they say Menachem Mendel Vitebsk. The Heilige Rebbe of Vitebsk used to say in his younger years, Ribbono Shalom, if you would just allow me once in my life to daven a true tefillah. One Shmon Esrei. It's a depressing tefillah when you hear Menachem Mendel said that, because then you stop and you think and you say, you know what? I never actually, once in my life, did make it from the beginning of Shmon Esrei to the end, completely from beginning to end with Kavana. Who can say that they've done such a thing? That they felt like, yeah, no, this was the perfect Shmon Esrei. So he used to daven Hashem, I want one tefillah. I want one Shmon Esrei over the course of my life to be a perfect Shmon Esrei. That's what the Vitebsker used to say. Then the Vitebsker came to Eretz Yisrael. Right, we know he was building an Eretz Yisrael. And when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he said the following. He said, Avir the Eretz Yisrael machkim. The Gemara Bava Basra Kuf Nun Ches says that the air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise. So he says, now that I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I'm a lot smarter, I'm a lot wiser. And I realized that request that I used to ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was totally unreasonable. And he changed it. He said, Hashem, I ask of you, please, over the course of my entire life, I should be zocha to say one word, not one tefillah, one word of tefillah. I should be able to utter one emistic word of tefillah to you with complete kavanah. That was his new Kabbalah. So I saw there's a sefer called Yemos Olam. Yemos Olam is from the Am Shenover Rebbe, not the Am Shenover in Eretz Yisrael, Am Shenover in America. And he says the following. He says, look at the power of one word. Rav Menachem Mendel Vitebsk said, Halavai, Rav Moshe Shlomo, a lifetime of living is worth it, and all the difficulties of one's life is worth it to be able to utter one true word of tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Am Shenover said the following. He said, look in the Gemara in Brachos on Dav Zayin. Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. He wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. How is he going to destroy Klal Yisrael? What does the Gemara say? Brachos Dav Zayin. What is Zara Dav Dalet? No. What is Zara Dav Dalet? What did Bilam know? It's so supposed to say about Azar. The Gemara in Brachos says in that Zayin, Ki rega ba'apo chayim b'ritzona. What did Bilam know? He knew the rega ba'apo. He knew the split second, says the Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin. Bilam knew the split second every day. That what? Nu, Yosef Shalom, that what? That Hashem ki rega ba'apo. That Hashem got angry. Bilam knew the split second every day that Hashem got angry. And Bilam said, I'm going to curse the Jewish people in that moment when God is angry at the Jewish people. So what's Tosfos' question? What's Bilam going to say in a split second? In the end, we see that Bilam gives these long speeches in Parshas Bach. What was Bilam going to say in a split second? This is Tosfos' question in the Gemara in Brachos and in the Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet. Brachos Daf Zayin, Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet. What was Bilam going to say in a split second? So Tosfos gives two answers. Answer number one, as long as you start cursing Klal Yisrael in that split second, then you can finish your speech as long as you want. Answer number two, Bilam was going to say one word. Bilam's intention was to use that split second to destroy Klal Yisrael with a single word. And Tosfos reveals the magic word. What was the word that Bilam was going to use? Ki rega ba'apo. A single word. He was going to say, Kalem, destroy them. That's it. A three-letter word could have destroyed Klal Yisrael. So says the Amshin of a Rebbe. Right? Again, we're building this off of what Rav Tzadok already told us. Rav Tzadok said, the Pella of the Nazir is that a person says, Harini Nazir, and he's a different human being. He's a Kadosh LaHashem, because he said two words, Harini Nazir. If he wants, Stam Naziris is how long?
30 days.
If he wants, he can add one more word and change his life even more radically. Harini Nazir La'olam. Harini Nazir Olam, Harini Nazir La'olam. In other words, he could extend the Naziris for the rest of his life. Right? Not only that, says Rav Tzadok, that a parent has the ability, thinking back to Shimshon, a parent has the ability to make a child a Nazir. I can, with my Dibur, I can change you. That's the Pella of the Nazir. So says the Amshin of a Rebbe, if Bilam could destroy Klal Yisrael with a single word Kaleim, we know that Midah Tova is always stronger, is better than Midas Pranius. So if Bilam could destroy worlds with a single word, you don't think a Yid can build worlds with a single word? That's what the Rebbe of Vitebsk was saying. Halavai, halavai, shadavin. One honest word of Torah in my entire life. Because he knew that justifies my entire Olam Katan, my entire existence. Yemos Olam. It's a Geshmak Sefer. Usually when I stay in for Shah, I have certain... You guys relate to this? Like, you have certain Svarim that you take to certain places? Like, when you go to a certain place, you like to take a certain Sefer with you? No? Anyone have that? Maybe I'm just so weirdo in that way. No, like certain places, like when I go on an airplane, I like to take Pirkei Derbi Eliezer with me. I know it's weird. It's very weird. When I go on airplanes, I like to take Medrash Pirkei Derbi Eliezer with me. That's what I like to learn on airplanes. When I come to YU for Shabbos, when I stay in, I very often bring my Yemos Olam with me for the option of Rebbe. I don't know why. There's just like certain Sfarim you take to certain places. Certain times of the year you pull out different Sfarim. I don't know. What'd you say? Brachos Dav Zayin. But Bilam was going to say Kalim. So the Amshin of Rebbe says if one word could destroy everything, no. So a single word can build so much. So says that, says the Maharal. Let's come back now. Says the Gemara in Yoma Pevav. When I get into trouble with my friends, with another Basar Vadam, with my parents, with my spouse, with my children, I want to appease them. It may take a long time, it may not take a long. They may never forgive me. I might have to bribe them with money. I might have to buy them gifts in order to convince them to renew the relationship. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara, Ein Okein. You mess up with Hashem. You messed up with Melech Malchei Amlachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you do to fix it? Very simple. Kechu Imachem Dvarim V'shuva Hashem. With a couple of words. That's the Pella. That's the Pella of Tshuva. That's the Pella of the Nazir. You can change an entire world with a couple of words. V'lo Od, listen to this. This is such an amazing Gemara. We haven't seen a word of Maharal yet. Just reading the Gemara so far. V'lo od el shemachzik lo tova. Hashem says to you, when you come back to Him, right, as if you're doing Him a favor, shkoyach. Hashem's machzik lo tova. Hashem says, you did something really good for me. I did good for you. You let me come back in tshuva. Hashem says, no, it's great. Wow, you came back? Wow. That was so nice of you. Hashem gives you a shkoyach. Shenamar v'kach tov. Below Od, and not only that, not only does Hashem say Shkoyach, but Hashem says, you only said words, but I'm going to give you credit as if you did so much more. Below Od, El Shadoma Kamosha Banam Mizbeach, V'hikriv Alav Karban. Hashem says, it's as if what? With these few words, this little conversation we had, it's as if you built a Mizbeach, it's as if you brought Karbanos, Shenamar Unashal Maparim Sifaseinu, V'shem Atomar Parichovos, and if you'll say Parichovos, that I'm paying debts, these are animals that I owe to the Beis HaMikdash? No. Hashem says they're pure love offerings, gifts. Talmud Lomar, Ohavim Nedava. Hashem says, wow, that was so generous, you did me such a favor, such a kindness that you came back to me in tshuva. Hashem gives you a big shkoyach and says, wow, you showered me with gifts. And you're thinking, this is unbelievable. I messed up, I sinned against Hashem. Now He's inviting me back, Kulim Bachem Devarim B'Shuvah El Hashem, and He's going to say, wow, thank you so much, and He's going to give me credit for my few words, as if what? As if I built a Mizbeach, and I offered Him Karbanos, and Hashem says, no, not just Karbanos, that you have to bring Karbanos, that you wanted to bring, and it's so, wow, it's so generous of you. What a wild Gemara. Says the Maharal, Perish Dover Zeh. Ki Hashem Yisbarach, if anyone doesn't have a copy, we have extra copies right here. Perish Dover Zeh. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Eino Kamo Basar V'dam. Why is it that when it comes to a Basar V'dam, the third line in the left column on the first page. Paragim. Why is it, says the Maharal, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so quick and so easy and so willing to change and to allow us to change? Ki Hashem Yisbarach Eino Kamo Basar V'dam. Hashem is not like a Basar V'dam. Why? Ki Ha'adam Shu Bal Guf V'Geshem. A person whose body is half of his reality. Mispais B'davar Shu Gashmi. A person where half of my existence is a body, is a guf, is gashmius. So when that body feels upset, it likes to be comforted by gashmius. And therefore what? In this case, like the Gemara said, when you insult another person, the only way to appease them may be through, very often will be through what? Through some type of gashmius compensation. Right? Whether it's a gift, whether it's money, the hainu mamon. But Hashem is bar she'ain guf v'geshem. But Hashem, who is not any, is not made up of any guf, and Hashem who has no gashmius, mispais b'davar she'ain guf v'geshem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appeased by that which is what, which is not physical. Hashem is not physical. It doesn't take something physical to appease Him. What can we offer Hashem? What can we give kiviyachol to Hashem? Right, that's not gashmi, that Hashem would enjoy, that fits His world. Hu adibur, speech. She'eino guf v'gashem, because speech is not something which is tangible. It's not physical. You can't hold it. The words that are flying out of my mouth right now can't be touched, can't be held, and therefore the koach adibur is the most elevated thing that we have. I'll show you some other marals in a second that express this idea, and therefore that's how we come back to Hashem. Hashem, you're not a baal guf. You're not a baal basar. Hashem, you're not made up of flesh and blood, and therefore the way to appease you is through that which we can offer you, which is the most spiritual thing that we have, namely the Koach HaDibur. This is something that Maral speaks about a lot, the Koach of Dibur. Maral, for example, writes in the Chedushei Agados to the Gemara in Erechin, where it talks a lot about Lashon Hara and the Koach HaDibur. Maral says, HaDibur Hu Sichli. Speech, even though it's connected to a tongue and a throat and a palate, right? And there's many parts of my mouth that are involved in the physical formation of speech. But the speech itself is sichli. The speech itself is ruchni. Ki ein el bal chai hadibur. How do you know? How do you know that speech is something that's really above this world? Right? Because animals, says the Maharal, don't have the koach of dibur, the same way that humans do. Raka adam shu sichli yesh lo hadibur. A human being, because we are expected to be ruchni as human beings. That means the quality of the neshama of a human and an animal are obviously different. An animal, yes, of course an animal has a life force in it, has a nefesh in it, it keeps it alive. But it doesn't have a neshama. It doesn't have that higher level of seichel. And therefore an animal doesn't have the koch of dibur. Similarly, in the Gvuras Hashem, in Parak Samach Dalet, the Maral says, the pasuk that we're all familiar with, when we poke fun at Avodah Zarah, and we say what? Pelahem v'lo yedaberu. Einayim lahem, and they can't see. So says the Maral, it's going in order here. It's going in order from the highest koach, and then it goes down to lower kochos. What's the highest koach? Pelahem v'lo yedaberu. If they don't have the koach of dibur, right? Second to that, einayim lahem, and they can't see, then they're certainly not the real deal. But again, says the Maral in Gvuras Hashem, you see what's on the top of the list? The davar shu chashuv yoser, namely the dibur, the thing that separates us from animals. Where's the first source? Where's an earlier source? Where does the Maral get this idea to emphasize so much that dibur is the thing that separates man from animals? It's Rashi and Chumash. Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Vayipach ba'apav, Hashem blew into man, what? Nishmas Chayim, a living spirit. Says Unkelus, Ruach Mamalala, a speaking spirit. Says Rashi, speech is the thing that makes man a man. If you want to become an Adam, then you have to have the Koach HaDibur. And you have to use it in the right way. Which means that when a Jew doesn't use his Koach HaDibur properly, when we speak in the wrong way, not only are we saying, well, I'm a human being, but I'm just not speaking in the nicest way. When a Jew doesn't use his speech in the right way, he's no longer a human being. Speech is the thing that makes you a human being. So it's not that, well, I'm a human being, I speak in a very crude fashion. No, you're not. You're an animal. If you don't speak properly, if you don't learn to speak in a way that's becoming of a human being, so then you've lost your ability to be a human being. Yes, Don.
Kol and
Dibor are two different things. Sometimes we use them interchangeably, but there's no question that Kol and Dibor, as used in the Torah, are different things. Right? Hakol Kol Yaakov Ayadayim Yidei Esav. Kol is really usually refers to more of like the inner voice of something. Right? Dibor might be the words as you actually hear them. But the kol represents that which is on the inside. Hakol Kol Yaakov. You know, the Majlis Rebbe has a beautiful remez. He says, if you take the word kol, see if I can get this right. If you take the word kol, the gematria of the word kol is 136. He says, if you spell out the letters of kol, if you spell out kuf, vav, lamed, so someone help me out here. Kuf is kuf, vav, pei. Vav can be spelled three ways. Yeah. If you spell out kol in miloy, you spell it out. Kuf is spelled kuf vav pei. Vav is vav vav. That's the most basic spelling of vav. Although vav can be spelled three ways: vav vav, vav aleph vav, and vav yod vav. Okay. Some letters can be spelled different ways. Vav vav is the most pasha way, right? Because you're not adding anything other than the simplest expansion of vav. Lamed. How do you spell lamed? There's only one way to spell lamed. Lamed mem dalet. So says the Majid Tzarebi in Parshas Toldos. Divrei Yisrael, Parshas Toldos, he says, the inner letters of Kol are the same gematria as the outer letters of Kol. Meaning the Kuf, Vav, Lamed, Kol is 136. The inner letters, right, the Vav, Pei of Kuf, the Vav, the second Vav of Vav, Vav, and the Mem, Dalet of Lamed, Lamed, Mem, Dalet, the inner letters are also gematria 136. And that means that the idea of Kol is that it's supposed to be, as Yitzchak identifies by Yaakov, HaKol Kol Yaakov. That's what it means, HaKol Kol Yaakov. That his inner voice and his outer voice are actually aligned. Which is funny, because that was Dafka the moment that Yaakov is tricking his father and coming in the disguise of an Esav. Right? But Yitzchak somehow recognizes HaKol Kol Yaakov. Despite the fact that the Yadayim Yidei Esav, I can hear kind of through that, and I hear that your inner voice is Shalom. Is the most complete, and that's who Yaakov was. Yaakov was. Of the three avos, the greatest balance of kolchos was found by Yaakov. That's how kol kol Yaakov. Your insides and your outsides, so to speak, align. But yes, kol and dibur for sure are different things. It comes from a different place. Exactly how to be magdir it and to define it is a good question. But we should be sensitive to using those two terms differently. Okay? So continuing in the Maharal. So says the Maharal. Again, a person who's of flesh and blood needs to be appeased in a way that makes the body happy. Mammon, things of this world. Hashem, who doesn't have a body, Hashem, who's spiritual, is mispayis b'davar she'ein guf v'gashem, which is dibur. That Hashem doesn't have a body, and therefore speech is given to Hashem as an atonement. V'amar she'basar b'dam, when you deal with a human being, safek mispayis, safek ein mispayis. Maybe he'll be appeased, maybe he won't be appeased. Bishum shekol dvarav shel basar v'dam nimshachim achar ha-mikra bilvad. Because when we talk about a basar v'dam's whole world is mikra. As a human being, the body of a human being is so out of control, it's so not misudar. The neshama is the part of you that's very misudar. The body is the part that wants to do whatever it wants, whenever it wants. There's no seder to it whatsoever. The choices that the body makes are mikra, are happenstance. It's not with kavana. And therefore what? When it comes to getting atonement from another human being, of flesh and blood, so, I don't know what's going to be. There's not a clear seder of how things are going to go in seeking atonement, of appeasing that individual. Lefam mispayes, lefam ein mispayes. Hakol lefi amikra. Everything's up to chance. Sometimes you come to a person, you're terrified, they're not going to forgive you, and they're like, yeah, it's no big deal. And sometimes you come to a person, you feel like you did such a minor offense, and the person makes such a big deal out of it. So that's the mikra of dealing with a human being. Aval Hashem Yisbarach Ein Dvar B'Mikra. Hashem, nothing about Hashem is Mikra. The Maral writes in the Ber HaGola, the fact that Hashem is the only thing that needs to be, that Hashem is the one who is Mechuyav HaMetzius, Rachuk Mimenu Davar Shu Mikra. That's what the Maral says. Mikra is far away from Hashem's world because Hashem is the one thing that's absolute. Hashem has to be. Everything else could come and go. Hashem has to be. That means Hashem's world is not Mikra. We said many times now. We said yesterday that the Torah is what? Is the Seder of a person and the Seder of the world. It's called Torah. Maral says in the Siva Torah Perak Aleph because it's a Lashon Hora. It guides a person. It's Mora Derech. It gives you a Seder in your life. If the Torah is Hashem's expression, so of course, if the Torah is perfectly misudar, right, even though sometimes it looks like it's out of order, but there's obviously a deep seder to every letter of the Torah, and to every detail of the halacha, it's to guide a person with tremendous precision in his life. So obviously the source from where the Torah comes, namely Hashem, is the most misudar. Hashem has the most seder in his life, kiviyachol. And therefore, when a person has seder, it's not mikra. It's not by chance. It's not jumping around. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, there's a cause and there's an effect. You moved away from Hashem, you can move back to Hashem. With a human being, you moved away from him. How are you going to get back? Very unclear. Are you going to get back? Are you going to be able to work it out? Very unclear. Hashem, everything operates within Seder. Hashem has rules, and Hashem sticks to the rules. And Hashem is not overly emotional about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Machayiv the Metzius in the language of the Maral. V'amar sheyachzik tov al zeh. What was the next line in the Gemara? Hashem is going to thank you. Hashem is going to thank you for coming back to him. Ki hu yisbar chafetz ba'olam. Why does Hashem thank you when you do tshuva? Why is Hashem coming to you now and saying, wow, that was so nice of you? Hashem is machzik tova. To you. Why? Because Hashem wants the world to exist. What happens if we continue to do averos? The world will not exist. Everyone has an obligation. I'm giving you a homework assignment. Take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Pei He. You have to read Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, right? The essence of the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah, he's writing by Avodas Yom HaKippur. That's the mitzvah there. Mitzvah 185 is Avodas Yom HaKippur. That's what this whole Tkufa Sashana is about. It's trying to get to Yom Kippur. All of Elul, everything we're working on in building our relationship with Hashem is to come to Yom Kippur. Should I prove it to you? Do you believe that the simanim, that the chapter headings of the Sefer HaChinuch are with Hashkacha Pratis? Meaning, do you believe that there's a spiritual significance to the fact that the mitzvah of Yom Kippur fell out in mitzvah 185 of the Sefer HaChinuch? You believe that? Or it just happened to be. He was putting it in the order. It happened to fall 185. Number 185 is not deeply connected to getting to Yom Kippur. So Rav Tzadok believes that the Rishonim, everything they wrote was with Hashgacha Pratis. And Rav Tzadok says, very openly, in Machshavas Chorutz, Rav Tzadok says, that if you find a particular halacha and a particular siman in Shulchan Aruch, for example, or if you find a particular, you know, halacha or mitzvah in the Sefer Chinuch, let's say, for example, there's a reason that it fell out in that spot. It's precisely in that spot. You have to think about it. Why is this mitzvah 333? What's the significance of the number 333? And how does it connect to this mitzvah? So why is the Chinuchs, for those of you who are brave enough to jump into this idea, right, why is the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, where the Chinuch says such an important point of what this whole Tkufa Sashana is about, why is it mitzvah 185? Why is it mitzvah 185? So I was thinking a couple of years ago, the gematria of Anila Dodi Vidodi Li is 185. So the whole point of everything that we're working on in Elul, to prepare ourselves to Yom Noram, to get to Yom Kippur, to really get to the Ne'ilah, where I lock myself in, B'yichud, private, with my beloved, where I can express the Anila Dodi Vidodi Li, Mishnah Berurah writes, Mishnah Berurah is a beautiful lashon. Mishnah Berurah says the whole tachas of the Yom Noram is to get to Ne'ilah. So that means every time we drag ourselves out of bed to go to slichos, and every time we heard the shofar, and every tefillah that we davened, and every bit of the avodah of this whole tekufa is really just to get to be zocha to stand by Ne'ilah. And Ne'ilah means not that Hashem is locking us out, but like Reb Shlomo used to say, Hashem is locking us in. Yichud. It's the yichud room with Hashem. So ani ledodi, vedodi is gematria 185. So therefore, avodas Yom Kippur, I think you could say maybe the Sefer Chinuch, right, put kind of the punchline in mitzvah 185. Okay, that's my own wacky suggestion. Good. So what does he write over there? And you look it up with your own eyes so you can see it. He says, we're so lucky that Hashem gave us Yom Kippur. We're so fortunate that Hashem gave us one day a year, every single year, to cleanse ourselves. Why? Well, what happened if we didn't have that day? So Sefer Chinuch says a very scary lesson. He says, if we didn't have once a year to really clean up, right? It's like when you go to camp. La'avdil. So you clean your bunk every week, maybe every day. Then you clean up for visiting day. Those are two different types of cleaning. Right? You get ready in a different way. There's cleaning and then there's really cleaning. Yeah? So that's the Sefer Chinuch. If Hashem didn't give up, we can clean up all the time. Tshuva's a mitzvah all year round. But Yom Kippur is like a big cleaning. On Yom Kippur, if we didn't have Yom Kippur, says the Sefer Chinuch, in Mitzvah Kuf Peh, he says that in a year, or two, or three, or maybe a little more, our avarice would pile up to the point that the world would be destroyed. That's what he says. He says, we need this checkpoint once a year, because if not, again, depending on different generations, for many of us, I'm sure we feel we could probably destroy the world in a couple of months. Right? But Hashem, once a year, Hashem says, if we don't clean up like big time once a year, if we don't get rid of all this filth that's contaminated the world over the course of the past year, that's it. The world's gonna self-destruct. The Chinuch was writing in his time is a little more generous. In a year, maybe two, maybe three, oh yoser, this is Lashon, or maybe a little more, the world would cease to exist. Because the Averis would just pile up if we didn't have a checkpoint to clean up. So what's gonna happen? If Hashem doesn't offer us tshuva, the world can't exist. No, so chaver, so listen to the words of the Maharal again. Why does Hashem thank us when we do tshuva? Because Hashem wants the world to exist. The Melech wants to have a nation to rule over. Ein Melech b'lo am. Says the Maharal. Again, the Gemara says, Sheyachzik tov al zeh. Ki hu yisbarach chafetz bo'olam. Hashem wants the world to exist. Ki im ein hanivrayim, because if the world doesn't exist, al mi malchuso yisbarach. Who's the Kadosh Baruch Hu going to rule over? Ah, you'll say, but Hashem, Adon Olam, Hashem Malach, B'terem kol yitzir nivrayim. You were Melech without an am. But Hashem says, yeah, what kind of malchus is that? I want a world. I made a world because I want a world. I don't want you to destroy it. Uvnei kach, nechshav davar zeh kamo misha osa davar tov al echad, umachzik lo tov al zeh. And therefore, when we do tshuva, we clean up our mess, the world can go on. Hashem says, shkayach, you saved the world. You saved the world, and I like the world. I want the world to exist. I'm not interested in the world ceasing to exist. We, kiviyachol, save HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we do tshuva. And that's why Hashem says, I'm going to be very thankful to you. Because again, if you destroy yourself, if you destroy my world, then you've destroyed me, kiviyachol. Because I can't be a melech if I don't have a world. I'll tell you a beautiful story I heard many years ago from Rabbi Chaim Marcus Shlita, the Springfield Eruv. For those who know, the Springfield Eruv. Rabbi Chaim Marcus, from the illustrious, gracious Marcus family, told the following story. He said there was a small family living on the Lower East Side. This goes back to, let's say, the 1940s. And 50s. So, it was a father, it was a mother, and they had a son. And the father and the son used to go to shul every Shabbos, every Friday night. And the father always told the son, we have to bring home a guest. Very, very makir. We always have to have a guest. We have to encourage people who don't have to come to be with us for Shabbos. And he used to always invoke the pasuk. He used to always say to his son, just realize, tzedakah tatzil mimaves. That tzedakah saves lives. So it's very important. We should make sure to protect tzedakah tatzil. We need to do tzedakah. We need to do achlas orachim. We need to bring a guest. And that's what they used to always do. They'd always bring someone back for the Friday night meal. This child describes that one time, he was, must have been winter time, he was coming home from school on a Friday afternoon, it was close to Shabbos already. He gets to his house, he's walking up towards his house, and all of a sudden he sees an ambulance parked in front of his house. And you see that they're bringing out his mother on a stretcher. And she had contracted some tuberculosis or something like that. It was very, something very, very frightening. And the father is there, and the son is there, and the father turns to his son, he says, listen, I'm going to go to the hospital, I'm going to go in the ambulance, it was close to Shabbos, I'm going to go in the hospital in the ambulance with mommy, I want you to go get ready for Shabbos, I want you to go to shul, and I want you to bring home a guest, and I'll meet you back at that, I'm just going to make sure that mommy's stable, she's getting what she needs, the proper medical care, and I'll meet you, I'll walk back, and I'll meet you, after davening, I'll be back in time, I'll meet you by the house, by the apartment. Okay, the kid's very nervous. Young boy, okay. He's nervous for his mother. He goes to shul, brings home a guest. Gets home, his father's there. They have a meal. It's a little quieter, a little quicker than usual. And after the meal, it was a little hot in the apartment. And people, sometimes hang out on the fire escape. That was where his father and son used to like to hang out. So they're sitting outside on the fire escape. Right? It's a Shabbos night. The kid's very nervous, very anxious about his mother. So he turns to his father as they're sitting there, and he says, is everything going to be okay with mommy? Everything's going to be fine, right? You always told me, tzedakah tatzel mimavis. You always say that tzedakah saves from death. So here, mommy's in danger. And look, we still have our guest, as we always do. Tzedakah tatzel mimavis. So the father turns to his son, and he says, do you think that's what I meant by tzedakah tatzel mimavis? You think tzedakah tatzel mimavis? Is about mommy, or is about me, is about you, is about any of us? He says, what I think about when I say tzedakah tatzel mimavis, that tzedakah, the achlas orachim that we do every Friday night, saves from death, it's not about saving our own lives, it's saving their bonus sholom. Because if we don't live as Jews, then their bonus sholom doesn't have a place in this world. And their bonus sholom is as good as dead. Then they're going to print articles about, the death of God. How religion used to be something that people were into, but now God is dead. So he says, "Tzedakah tatzel mimavis saves their bonus shalom." Yeah, also, of course, it's also going to protect us. But we have to think big picture. That when a Jew says the Maral comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Shkoyach, you saved me. You saved my life," says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because without you, I can't rule. I have no one to rule over. Concludes the Maral in the final paragraph. We'll do one more paragraph for today. Sorry, mine it's one last paragraph. And yours is just the last piece of this Maimar Chazal. What was the last step of the Maimar Chazal? So we explained so far, again. When it comes to a Basar V'dam, it's a lot harder to talk the Basar V'dam into forgiving you. We explained that when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only will Hashem make it easy for you, but He'll be thankful towards you. And lastly, what was the last part? Hashem will give you credit as if what? You built a Mizbeach and you offered Karbanos. Right? And when the Gemara said what? What type of karbanos? It's as if you offered a nedava, a free will offering. I'm not chayiv to do tshuva. Tshuva is the greatest chayiv in the world. Rav Hunder writes in the Pachad Yitzchak, in Yom Kippur, Maimer Yud Tes, Rav Hunder says the lashon, Ein lecha chover yoser gedola, me'asher chova sa tshuva la'adam achote. There is no greater obligation on a person than the obligation of a person who did an avera to do tshuva. And yet Hashem says, no, I'm going to treat it like it's a free will offering. Out of the goodness of your heart, you gave me a present, Hashem says. Why? Why should that be? So says the Maral, a huge chiddush. And in that piece of Pachad Yitzchak, from Rav Hunder, Pachad Yitzchak on Yom Kippur, Maimer Yotes, Rav Hunder goes wild on this Maral. Because it's such a wild chiddush. But the truth is, it's the Gemara. The Gemara said it, not Maral. Rav Hunder acknowledges that. The Gemara is the one that says. That what? That the karbanos that you offered are what type of karbanos? Not obligatory offerings, but it's totally optional. And the truth is, not only the Gemara that said it, it's Hoshea Hanavi who said it. Ohavim Nedava. I love them Nedava, like it's a Nedava. So says the Maharal, why is it a Nedava? We touched on this in the first parak. We said we were going to come back to this, so now we're back to this. Chevra, we've been waiting for this. Look at this carefully. Why is it a Nedava? You rebelled against Hashem. Rav Hunder says that you have the greatest chiyuv in the world to do tshuva. Why does Hashem say, wow, shkoyach, you saved me, and you didn't have to do that, you chose to do that. What do you mean you chose to do that? Says the Maharal, Masha Amar Doma Ki'ilu Banu Mizbech Nekriv Kolak Arbanos. Davar Zeh Kasher Ha'odam Bal Tshuva Makir Atzval Hashem Yisbach. Part number one, as far as it being a karbon, we know that a karbon is lashon like we spoke from the Ramban in Vayikra, that a karbon is lashon of coming close. So when you come back to Hashem, that itself is a karbon because you've come close to Hashem. Fine, we have that part down. But look at this chiddush. Va'amar ki'ilu hikriv nedava. It's as if you brought a nedava, a free will offering of your own desire. Not that I was obligated to do anything for you, God. Not obligated. You rebelled against me. Of course you're obligated. Of course you're obligated to come back. Says Maharal, no, you're not. V'davar zeh, ki achote sheyatza mirishuso, ve'olo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo shayach sheyesh alav chova muteles, shorei kvar yatza min hagezeira asher alav. Why does the person who went, so to speak, off the derech, not have an obligation to come back to Hashem? In his own mind, why does he have no obligation? And the chiddush is that Hashem is acknowledging this, that Hashem is buying into this gather that this person who strayed from Hashem has set up. What does the person who no longer worships Hashem claim? What does he say? I don't believe in God. I don't believe in you, Hashem. You don't exist as far as I'm concerned. And if I don't believe in you, then anything that you supposedly are asking of me, I don't believe that it even exists. Now the chiddush is that Hashem is allowing you to talk that way. Hashem should slap you across the face and say, I'm real, and this is what I expect of you. Right? But Hashem allows you, from your perspective, I don't hold of God. If I believe in God, and I take upon myself the yoke of mitzvahs, which we all do, from Hashem, everyone in this room, we believe in Hashem, we put the yoke of mitzvahs upon ourselves. So then, if I mess up, Hashem says, no, you hold to me, you hold to my Torah, why didn't you listen? This person, who's thrown off the yoke, says the Maharal, lo shayach sheyesh alav chova muteles. There's no obligation resting upon him. Why? Because he said, I'm outside the kingdom. I don't hold in this whole thing. You're not my king. This is not my kingdom. I have nothing to do with this. And therefore, when he comes back, nechshav ki'iluhu asa nedava. Hashem says, that's right, you were out. You chose to come back. You chose to insert yourself into my kingdom, into my melucha, into my gzeros, into my mitzvos. Lefichach amar ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu machzik lo tova ki ilu asa davar shu lifnim mishura sadin. This touches, by the way, and I'll conclude with this point, this touches on the machlokas between the Rambam and other Yishonim, is emuna a mitzvah. The Rambam counts emuna as the first mitzvah of the Torah. The Ramban says, and others say, you can't count emuna as a mitzvah. Why? Because if I don't believe in this, then we don't get started. You can't command me to believe in you. That precedes the mitzvahs. If I decide, if I say, Chevra, my name is Moshe T. Weinberg, and I want to just let you know I am God. Right? So you'll say, what? I don't believe that. And I'll say, as God, I command you to go across the street and buy me a cup of coffee. So I'll say, I don't believe you're God, and I'm not buying you a cup of coffee. So Ramban says, if you don't buy in that Hashem is God, so then the mitzvos don't sell. You can't count Amuna as one of the mitzvos. That's sort of what the Maharal is saying here. When this person says, I don't hold of the whole thing, so in a certain sense, Hashem says, okay, well then if you don't hold of me, then I can't ask anything of you. And therefore, in a sense, he's stepped out of the chiyuv. And his return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a nedava. It's a free will offering. It's a big chiddush. Rav Funder spends a lot of time trying to figure out how at the moment that you come back, that's also the moment you become chayav. So there sort of is this bridge that takes place, right? He says that the hischadshus that the Jew returns, and the hischayavus that he's placing upon himself by recommitting to the system, the bas achas heim chalim. They take effect at the exact same time. That's how he's trying to explain the Maharal. But again, from the language of the Maharal, this person who has gone, who's declared himself off the derech, is pater. He's in his mind, he's free, and Hashem, according to Maharal, is buying into it. The Vilna Gaon didn't buy into this, based on a story. The Vilna Gaon once saw a certain well-known irreligious person, and the Vilna Gaon said to him, just so you should know, you think like you're holding by big averus. You're living with a non-Jewish woman, and you eat on Yom Kippur, and you're Machal Shabbos, Ochel Nevelos or Trefos. You think you're holding by big things. Let me tell you something. The Vilna Gaon said this to a person, and actually it was Mechazik him a lot. The Vilna Gaon said to him, do you know that when you get to Shemayim, Hashem's going to say to you, why did you tie your right shoe before your left shoe? Don't you know, put on the right, put on the left, tie the left, and tie the right? So you think, you're like, nah, Hashem's not going to even start up with me on that, because that's like, I'm holding much, farther down the line. The Vilna Gaon said, no, you're still a Jew, and you're still expected to do all the little things also. And it was a total awakening for this individual to realize that he still had a shaychus to every detail of halacha. He felt that he mattered, and it was a source of chizik for him. But the Maharal says, no, once you step out and you say, I don't hold to this anymore, Hashem says, fine, you quit, fine, you're out. Now, of course, a Jew is always, afal pi shechat yisrael ho. It's a Gemara in Ar Masechta in Sanhedrin. But on a certain level, once you step out, you're out. And therefore, if you come back, Hashem says, wow, you did me a tov. You saved me. Sakatatsami mavis. So, Mirat Hashem, however, we should take these Ma'amari Chazal to heart. Certainly the first part, more than any of it. That if you mess up with Hashem, all you have to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with Hashem. It's a Pella. It's a wondrous thing. A person says, Harini Nazir, and he becomes a Nazir. His whole world gets transformed for two words. Bilam would have said, Kalem destroyed Klal Yisrael. You say one word of sincere tshuva. You do one little thing. Like the Medrash says, make a hole the size of a needle, and I'll open it up the rest of the way, Hashem says. But the Kotzker used to say, the hole has to go all the way through it. The hole has to be Chazak. If but one real word of tshuva can mamish Hashem, you can be clean. You don't have to spend years trying to appease Hashem and buying him presents and all sorts of things. And Hashem will say, thank you so much. You didn't have to do that for me. You did that for me. What an opportunity that we have. So, Birtz Hashem, we should all be zocha to take advantage of it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless all of us with true tshuva. Tshuva shleima, ksiva tom.